The next item on the agenda is discussion from the recent law enforcement subcommittee meeting. Chief.
Good afternoon. I will try and get through this fairly quickly. And we did have a meeting of the law enforcement subcommittee. Mr. Zedron, Ms. Haney were in attendance. Staff from fisheries and law enforcement were in attendance as well. And that was August 13th. The reason for the meeting is principally owing to the changes in the Code of Virginia to Section 282.232. This is the actual code section now. And what you can see is that instead of the 2 years that you've been looking at on cases where there have been violations and guilty findings by the court, it's now up to a maximum of 5 years. And that includes both the licenses and the privileges. So that's a pretty big change, and that was the reason the committee got together, or one of the reasons. The second reason is there is now a penalty possible for these violations, for these sanctions, and the penalty can be up to $10,000, and that can also be applied only for the commercial violations, not the recreational, first of all, and second of all, it's when a revocation has already taken place, and then that individual who's revoked is summoned again and has another violation. So those are the parameters surrounding the civil penalty up to $10,000. As you may remember, this is a situation where any fines are deposited to the Marine Products Board. They do not come to the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. And the commissioner knows the thinking there very well, but it's obvious that the commission did not want to be in a place where it would look to have to worry about should I or should I not have this fine, what does this do for income to the agency, anything of that nature. There's some interesting parts down here which I won't read in D and E, but essentially if you don't pay, you will be found, and that payment will be absorbed in some manner. The second thing to consider is there was also a change to 282.528. I think it's clear to the commission that this code section, there was one meeting where it was the counselor was able to tell everyone strictly unless it's theft, you have to go back to 282.232. But there have been cases of theft. There certainly have been situations where 282.528 has been the correct code section to use, and down here you can see that's also now for 5 years in terms of the maximum revocation as opposed to the 2 years. So I just wanted to show you that to indicate that that's also part of what the commission will be discussing with these cases as we go forward. And all of this went into effect July 1 of this year. So it's already occurred. Wanted to give a little background. I think it was to the benefit of Mr. Zedron, who was the first time at the law enforcement subcommittee. Ms. Haney made a return visit. And so I think that was about Ms. Haney's fourth appearance with the law enforcement subcommittee. But we also want to share with you that really, this is not a casual situation that everyone went through. It was a very orchestrated type of an affair with many different aspects to it. One was looking at 1996 and what the law enforcement subcommittee came up, what's been known as the three-peat rule. And as you can see, that held for a while. There have not or were not that many cases where the violators came before the commission because they found ways to avoid the 12-month restriction. So it had to be within 12 months. If you defer your court dates, pretty soon you can circumvent the intent of the three-peat situation of three violations in 12 months. So it was very well established that something had to occur. There was a 2013 subcommittee, several meetings, and we had the advisory committees involved at that time. All three of our advisory committees were involved. And what they did was they looked at certain violations, and they were asked to rank the severity of those violations. And they did it in a very qualitative manner in that they recommended what might be the most, and we used the word egregious a lot back then, the most egregious and the least, and somewhere in the middle. And this took shape later on from having this qualitative information from the advisory committees. We also went to our law enforcement division, and the captains there followed suit and filled out the same type of schedule as to what is the most, what is the least, and what is middle in terms of the violations and the sanctions that should follow. We then fell to a more quantitative basis. So you can see over in the right hand that we developed a system where we scored these violations numerically. And the way that was done was by taking the law enforcement scores and the committee scores. Those are the two that are closest to the issues involved. They're the ones that are closest to the fisheries that are involved. And so we had scores. You can see, for example, harvesting oysters or clams during a closed public season was looked at as a pretty high score as far as being problematic and a violation that needed some attention. The other part was the development of how many convictions it took and over what period of time before something would occur with the commission. So one conviction, and I'll stick here in the blue font, of harvesting your oysters or clams from leased grounds, won you an appearance before the commission if you did that within 12 months. It also potentially won you a one-year revocation. And the one thing I want to make clear, because this came up from Dr. Neal early on after 2013, these are guidelines. And I think the question from Dr. Neal and a few others would say, well, we want to do something different. And, of course, that's fine because the commission is just asked to use these as guidelines. I changed the word suspension here to revocation. This is actually in the tables that exist in the document from 2013. And we really should use the word revocation. It's in keeping with what the code says. What we found out is there's a slight difference in semantics between suspension and revocation. When we talk about our mandatory reporting violations, we should talk about suspension because they're not filling out the paperwork or they have different reasons they haven't sent in their reports. But a revocation is you've gone to court, you've been found guilty, and now you're before the commission for revocation. So I wanted to point that out and not spend a lot of time on that. I did want to point out, now we've moved away from shellfish, we're with crabs. And crabs, it takes a little bit more time for you to commit your violations. And, in fact, in most cases, it takes two violations in 24 months. And that is a situation where you still are on probation. Really not talking about initial revocation with any of these. It takes the second commission appearance, and now it's a suspension, really a revocation. As I said, we'll go to the word revocation. Shellfish certainly has the primary responsibility of they have to really proceed in their fishery without those violations or it's going to be trouble. A little more laxity with the crabs, more with commercial fin fish as well. However, one violation within 12 months, you can appear before the commission. But we still talk about probation throughout with every one of those commercial finfish violations. And then there can be a revocation, the second appearance before the commission. The recreational, I just show you this for comparison. This is not part of what the commission's looking at in terms of the new changes to the code 282-232 for the fine. But you can see that with recreational, it's very similar. It takes at least one or two violations within a longer time period than shellfish. And later on the second appearance, you can have a suspension. This table is what the law enforcement division followed up on our suggestion. They ranked any differences that they see should occur because of the change to the 5 years instead of the 2 years. And these will be recommendations today from staff. So you can see that when they looked at the harvesting oysters from leased grounds or clams, instead of 2 year, this is the recommendation of the captains and the first sergeants together in all four areas. They recommended 3 year revocation. Same thing with during a public season, 3 years. I'll let you look at those. They do see some severity increasing in terms of oysters and clams from a sanctuary, where that should be 4 years. And there's another one here. So in general, they had pretty good confluence of their ideas on what should happen. But you can see here there are some differences. Staff would choose to keep those. So there was a split decision here, catching greater than 50% over the limit of shellfish. Some of the officers wanted a six-month suspension, and some wanted a one-year suspension or revocation. But in both cases, it's more severe than the current one-year probation. So staff would recommend that we keep these in your guidelines. It may help when you have cases that are borderline to say, well, should that be 6 months or 1 year revocation? And here's another one with a 2 year probation versus a 1 year revocation. So that's a little bit different than the one above it. But, you know, clearly after listening today and after listening to many commission deliberations over these violations, I think it would be good to keep these in, or staff does, I should say. And you can see here, this is a pretty big jump, harvesting oysters without a user fee and gear licenses. Previously, it was a six-month revocation. Now it's looked at as a two-year revocation. So the 5 years is going to be a little bit of a challenge at first for the commission to really embrace that. This just follows along with crabs. Again, you see it might be a little more in terms of the probationary period, but there are no revocations for the first period, first appearance before the commission. But you can see with the second appearance, mostly all are one-year revocation recommendations coming from our law enforcement. With the bottom one, unapproved person working as a crab agent would go from a six-month revocation to a 1 or 2 year revocation. Commercial fin fish, I won't spend much time here, but you can see the same as the case. Most of these were looked at pretty carefully by law enforcement. Otherwise, you'd see just everything sort of filled in for changes. They didn't do that. They used their knowledge to decide which one should be a more severe sanction. And here, you can tell their sentiments are pretty exact on second time around, there should be a revocation. So that's going to be a fairly substantial change once these cases start to unfold. And I'm just going to show you those very quickly. It's similar to the commercial fin fish. Some more severity with the second appearance, with the revocation being doubled. Comments from the law enforcement captains and first sergeants were the third appearance should be the maximum revocation time. So we talked about the first and the second. So law enforcement, the third time ought to be the 5 years period. So that's something for the commission to consider. The second recommendation is anytime an offender is brought before the commission for convictions, there should be a monetary penalty imposed, which we're going to talk about in a second. But that's just what the law enforcement group wanted to pass on. If convicted of a violation while revoked, the sanction should be doubled or up to 5 year suspension. And I'm certain that'll be a sort of a work in progress as you go through these cases that come before you. This is a new piece of information for you. It's rather small to read, I realize. It didn't make the first 2013 document, but these are situations that staff considers to be ones that you look at pretty carefully and that we try to add to your guidelines. And I'm just going to go through a few, but if you do not purchase a buyer's license within 12 months and are convicted within that 12-month period, it should be at least a probation to signal, go get your buyer's license. And it should later on, if it continues, that behavior continues, it's a revocation. Most of these follow the same way. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to jump down to horseshoe crabs, which completely missed the first time around in 2013. So you possess horseshoe crabs out of season with eligibility, without eligibility, and pretty much the time period is extended 12 or 24 months, but the second offense is a revocation. And we think that's important. First of all, horseshoe crabs is a bear to monitor. Monitoring that fishery, five different types of fisheries going on that staff has to be very precise when they think it's going to reach the quota for that particular gear. It's a lot of effort, a lot of work. Several years ago, I want to say about 2009, we must have had 17 or 18 individuals in front of the commission for reporting violations for horseshoe crabs. Staff has really cinched up that problem, but I want you to know with a lot of our monitoring, it requires phone calls to buyers and even harvesters to figure out where things stand, because we do have mandatory reporting, but it's on a monthly basis. In a month, a lot can happen. A lot can happen in a week. So we think it's important to get horseshoe crabs in there. Some new violations. Taking hard crabs from a fish pot, that's something that should sound familiar since we had the fish pot issue last year. And I'll do one other one, obstructed coal rings, which is something there are a lot of summons written for, but we didn't have that as part of our original matrix of sanctions, and it can end in revocation as well. So that covers the revocation part of it. I think the fine is something that we talked about with Mr. Zedron, and we also talked to Ms. Haney, and it was a pretty good conversation. Staff was reluctant to assign fines. I think you can understand that. That really shouldn't be anything staff should do. But what everyone agreed to was that what staff could do was make a recommendation. And I think the recommendation would be, if I can go back a couple slides, the recommendation should be based on the severity of the fine, and staff's recommendation should be based on the initial violation. So what that means is, as I keep pedaling back, we have a revocation possible with the first offense for oysters. And we don't with a lot of these shellfish measures that the penalties are a revocation with one offense. With crabs, you have to have two offenses. With finfish, you not only have to have two offenses, the revocation might be less than the crabs. So the really general way to place this is it may be that the fines, just like the sanctions, are going to be loaded more on the shellfish violations than on the crab or the finfish. And I don't think that should be surprising, because that's the way you as a commission have really been looking at these problems month after month after month. And we probably should keep it at that for right now. And there may be a time for more discussion, and staff is happy to try and probe this a bit more. But we just couldn't, at the law enforcement subcommittee, you know, we knew that it was something to ask, well, what do you do here? Does staff prepare a fine schedule? Does the commission look at this on a case-by-case basis? And I don't think either one is correct. Case-by-case leads to confusion because you say, well, what did we do on that last case? And how about that case last month? But if you have a general schedule that's based on the initial decision by the commission to revoke, the time of revocation, the appearance that it was revoked, that the person was revoked, or just the suspension, as you called it earlier, or is it just a situation someone was on probation once, twice, revoked the third time, then got caught fishing while revoked? You know, that should be sort of the guidelines, I think. And I ask your indulgence to sort of help staff help you work through any part of this you'd like to work through, because I think it's going to be brand new and it's going to take a little work. So that really is today's information on the law enforcement subcommittee, and if there are any questions, please let me know.
Let me clarify one thing here so that we're not all confused about a fine schedule. The intent is not to have the commission level a civil penalty for each of these violations, or have a sliding scale of fines for each of these violations. The law that was passed is the commission has the authority to levy a civil penalty of up to $10,000 for violating the commission's revocation order. It's not authority from the General Assembly in the Code of Virginia to levy a civil penalty for each violation that comes before the commission for sanction. Duncan, is that right?
That is correct. The statutory provision is the commission may assess a civil penalty of up to $10,000 against a person if it finds, after a hearing held after 10 days' notice, that the person has engaged in fishing other than for recreational purposes while the person's fishing licenses and fishing privileges have been revoked pursuant to this section or 28.2.528.
So the intent from the General Assembly here was to give the commission a tool if the revocation orders are ignored by a commercial fisherman, who, of course, can have more of an impact than an individual recreational fisherman. So I just want everybody in the audience, anybody on tape, and the commission to understand that this is not an attempt to set up a way to fine everybody for every violation that's brought before the commission.
Let staff ask a question.
Yes.
So if there are cases where, which I just went over, if you have a shellfish violation that ends in a revocation, mm-hmm. and later on there's a summons and another situation where that person comes back to the commission, he's guilty for fishing while revoked,
yep.
there could be a fine. If someone commits a crab violation and it takes three appearances before that person comes before the commission, and that person's revoked, and then that person is summoned for fishing under a revocation, that person would come back to the commission, and there could be a fine.
Correct.
That is the sort of illustration that I'm trying to provide.
Yep.
And all that staff has talked about is that when the commission gets to that situation where you know you've had someone who's been fishing under a revocation, that you may want to look back at how that person originally was revoked. What was the violation involved? And that may help if the commission wishes to impose a fine. That may help guide the commission. Does that sound okay?
I find personally that to be quite reasonable.
Good.
to assess not only the fact that they were Fish and Wildlife revoked, but the circumstances that led up to the revocation, I think is entirely pertinent for the commission. The commission may feel otherwise. Mr. Zeger.
I want to thank everybody that participated in that law enforcement committee. It was eye-opening for me. If some of you notice, since I've been here, I'm very critical of recommendations by someone other than the finder of fact, so to speak. I, as you know, I sit on the bench for 18 years, and we have wide guidelines and classes of misdemeanors and felonies, and so I'm a believer in the finder of fact. But that being said, I was impressed. I had no idea that the detail the staff went into to prepare these, to, you know, I learned that how they ranked these different offenses, you know, with the law enforcement and what they were seeing out in the field. And that's something we don't get to see here. And so this matrix, if you will, does all that. And it although it's on a case-by-case basis, it gives us a starting point to render a fair decision. As I earlier talked about a little bit about, you know, the process, and as that one case came up and I voted against it because I thought we were altering your process. So I'm one for doing it fair. I'm one for doing it, based on the facts of each case. But I'm here to tell you that I was impressed with the work that was done there. And to impress me to a matrix, that's a pretty big deal. And this matrix, if you will, I think had input from everybody, from the seriousness of defense, from the police officers, from the amount of cases that were coming before the law enforcement. And so I'm in support of this matrix, and I thank everybody who participated.
Thank you for those kind words, sir. I hope the staff appreciates them, and I am also impressed on a daily basis by the work the staff does. One note for the rankings on this. This wasn't just the input of law enforcement and staff. This was the input of the Recreational Advisory Committee, Shellfish Management, Crab Management, all the advisory committees. There was a lot of effort that was put into ranking the worst of the worst so the commission would have a better idea of how seriously to take some of these issues. So this wasn't just an in-house exercise. There are a lot of people that had a lot of input into this.
I have,
Mr. Neal.
I don't know what the procedure is, but I would implement these new guidelines. I'd start using new guidelines. As far as the fine schedule, I don't know that we need to even set a fine standard. What's going to be brought to us is all the same, fishing with a revoked license. And so that's going to be it. We're going to be fined someone that's going to be fishing under a revoked license. Now, we certainly can take in consideration why was their license revoked in the first place and what were they doing this time when they were caught fishing with a revoked license. You know, were they fishing off their pier with their grandkid or were they out there, you know, doing something? So we can take all that stuff in consideration, but I don't know that we need to try to say $1,000 for this, $5,000 for that. You know, the offense is going to be fishing with a revoked license. But we certainly can take into consideration all the factors, what they did before and what they did after.
Let me add one other note on that. It is my deep and sincere hope that we never see somebody before this commission for being caught out there fishing while their license is revoked. I hope that we never have to use this tool. But if somebody is going to go to the great lengths of getting themselves revoked by this commission and choose willfully to ignore it, they're asking for it.
Of course, it's happened. Since I've been on the commission, we have had people with revoked licenses coming here. And all we've been able to do is revoke their licenses more.
Well, this law that was passed unanimously by the General Assembly and signed into law by the governor gives the commission the authority to levy a civil penalty for fishing commercially while revoked of up to $10,000. And if that isn't paid within a set amount of time, there'll be a lien placed on their personal property or their house, their boat, or whatever, their vehicle. And every offense is a new visit before the commission. So, I mean, it only has to take one hard head to learn a really, really, really tough lesson.
For everybody.
Yeah.
That message should get out.
So. But I'll say again, I'm hoping that we never have to use that.
So I guess my comment is I think what the committee did and what staff has done is good, and I don't see that they need to do more. I think you've done enough is what I guess is what I'm – I think you've done good, and you can stop. That's my opinion.
Any other discussion on this matrix? I think we need a motion here to accept it.
I so move.
I second.
Motion by Mr. Zenior and second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. It's nice work. Please send our deep thanks to staff and law enforcement.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.